I get knocked down.
But I get up again.
You're never going to keep me down.
You may recognize these lyrics from Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
They really apply to the local hero we're visiting with next on Loving the Springs, the podcast that celebrates the best of Colorado Springs and Manitou and strives to elevate the rest.
You're listening to Studio 8 and 9 Podcasts, the cure for common apathy and indifference. Reported side effects include a sense of being informed and engaged. Ask your doctor if Studio 809 is right for you.
I'm Al Brody.
I'm Dave Gardner.
And I'm Carrie Simison. We're recording in the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs.
Unstoppable is the word that comes to mind when I think of our guest, Cynthia Joy. She's one more person in the Colorado Springs area who's on a mission. Cynthia is a stroke survivor who is dedicating her life to helping trauma victims not just recover, but soar. She's written a book, Fight Lives in the Heart of a Survivor. She also hosts her own podcast, The Strength in You. Welcome to the pod, Cynthia.
Thanks for having me.
Right off the bat, let's talk about your name real quick, because is Joy actually, and it's J-O-I.
Yes.
I get the impression that might be your middle name.
Yes, it is.
Is there a story behind that?
My dad named me Joy with an I. So I'll go by Joy because my mom's name is Cynthia, which is who I'm named after. But Joy matches my energy just so well that it was like, go by your middle name. So, of course, I'm a Joy, so I'm Joy.
So you could be Cynthia Joy. You could be Joy Towner.
Yes. Sometimes I'm Joy Towner. Sometimes I'm Cynthia Towner. It depends on what room I walk into. Because I also dabble in comedy. And part of my stage name is Juicy Joy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I love that you get to get up each day and decide which version of you you want to be.
Yes, ma'am. That is a beautiful thing. We all should wake up every day and decide who we want to be that day.
Well, we've invited you on now because you've got an event coming up, and I definitely want to talk about that. But I also want to hear about everything you're doing and your book, too. But why don't we start with the beginning of your journey? Would you be up to sharing your story of your stroke?
Absolutely. Just my stroke? Okay, we'll start there then.
Start there.
So my stroke was August of 2014. I was 31 years old, and it took my ability to walk, talk, and swallow. My left side was once paralyzed, and I had no feeling. But thanks to God, I am making gains. I have feeling now, and now I've been advocating and helping other stroke survivors get through the trauma of stroke. But my stroke came from me not taking my medication, not listening to my doctors, and genetics. My mom died from a stroke when I was 10 years old. And my dad is also a stroke survivor.
Wow.
Yes. So stroke has kind of been a part of me all my life. But because I was so young when she died, I didn't understand medicine and what it means to have a stroke and none of those things. So when they kept switching my medicine at the doctor, I was like, I don't want to be your guinea pig anymore. So I stopped taking the meds, which is what led up to my stroke. And it was a hemorrhagic stroke. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it is a bleed where the vessel bursts and you have a bleed in your brain. So I had a bleed in my brain. And of course, that prevented things from happening. So now things are starting to move around. So I'm making new pathways in my brain for things to work. And I'm getting new mobility. I'm getting some gains. So yeah, that's kind of a little hint of it.
So the recovery continues.
The recovery is never ending. You have to keep going all day, every day. I'm 10 years post, and I'm still making gains every day. I get new things.
Now, I'm guessing when you had that stroke, the clock was ticking. You needed medical attention as quickly as possible.
Yes.
I think everybody knows that about a stroke.
Yes.
Lucky for you, you were just like sitting in the emergency room waiting for that to happen. No?
No. So when it happened, I was actually at home. I was in the midst of cleaning, and I was at home with my kids who were then 2 and 5. And my left leg went to sleep. You know that tingling feeling you get when your leg go to sleep? And so I kind of stomped on it to wake it up. And then I thought, well, I've been cleaning all day. I probably should go eat. That's probably what's going on with my body. So I went downstairs in hopes to go get some food. And when I got down there, immediately I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. Well, when I stood up to go to the bathroom, I hit the floor. And then that's when the urine came and the vomit came, and I was just in a pool of it. And luckily, though, I was able to call my husband before all of that part happened. He was at work. So when my leg fell asleep, I called him and said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I don't feel like me. Something feels wrong. And he was like, I'll call you right back. Luckily, my neighbors were in my garage fixing my car at the time. So he called the neighbors to tell them to come check on me. By the time they came to check on me, I was already on the floor in that pool of stuff. And I remember somebody saying, stick your tongue out. You're having a stroke. Still didn't comprehend what that meant, but they rushed me to the hospital. I don't know if it was an ambulance or they took me. But I know once I got there, my left arm, I was welling it and I was beating up a nurse, not on purpose, but I just kept fighting, saying I want to go home. I ended up in the hospital for about 6 weeks.
Wow.
And that first week, I had no remembrance of any of it, to be honest. I remember them coming to give me what's called, I guess, a swallow test, and I kept choking. I couldn't swallow. So then I don't know what they did, but I just remember that next week came, and I remember looking at those Pikes Peak Mountains, and I said, that day was really gloomy, and I was like, I want to be a light. I want to be the change I want to see. And that's what changed my whole mental after stroke, because originally, of course, I was angry, and I just was like pissed off at God and just mad at the world, you know? Why me? That was the first question, why me? But then my sister posed an even better question. Why not you? What makes you so special that you won't go through life like people? You experience things. So then I said, well, who can do it like me? Can't nobody do it like me. I'm a joy. Like, that's the one thing stroke couldn't take away from me. So I started making fun of myself, of my drooling and my crooked face.
No kidding.
My smell, because I smell horrible. Because, you know, when you're in a hospital, they don't give you showers and all that stuff, especially when you're comatose. They're not thinking about that part. So when I came to, all I knew was I was stinking and my breath was horrible. So, you know, that's kind of how I got through it. Just start making light of what could have been dark. And that's kind of what brought out me and the strength in you.
Is that also when you started to collect topics for going into comedy?
Yes. I didn't realize that I even had topics for comedy until I went to a comedy show and I saw a comedian named Boomerang. And she inspired me. I don't know what it was about this lady, but something about her enticed me. And then we met after the show and we started talking. And she was like, you know, you're really funny. And then I started sharing my story. And she was like, you got a great story to go with comedy. And I was like, well, I look funny. Let me go try to be funny. So Juicy Joy was born.
So if somebody wants to enjoy your comedy now, where do they look to get that?
The best place to enjoy my comedy now is just to follow me, because everything I do is a little funny in it. So far, I've been building my comedy ground. But so far, I've done Loonies. They can find me on YouTube, of course, at The Strength in You. But I just did Ivy Wild, the Mother's Day thing that they had. I won the comedy competition there.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I'm actually supposed to do the second round for Father's Day. So that's going to be amazing. But yeah, you can find my comedy any way you can find Joy. And you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, literally everywhere where there's social media. I'm there with some joy and some humor, because I bring humor to everything.
So who's hosting the Father's Day comedy thing at Ivy Wild? Do you know?
No, I want to say that one is also, what is his name? Brain fart. See, this is part of stroke too. My brain goes to the store a lot and they got to go shop and then they'll come back. But... Willie Crow, that is who hosted the comedy show.
Well,
he's also a local comedian.
Okay, and we'll try to put a link in the show notes if we can find that. Yeah,
perfect.
And I hope to be in the audience. I don't think we laugh enough.
Absolutely not. Laughter is the best medicine.
Yes.
I think you probably are proving that. But it just, when that comes out of you, it changes your whole perspective on what you're seeing, what you're doing, what's around you. And you can laugh away at some pretty awful things.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So here's this journey. Chapter one, stroke. Chapter two, You're funny.
Chapter two was to motivate and inspire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was chapter two because I started a year after my stroke. I started volunteering at Memorial Central to give other people hope so they'll know that you're not what happened to you. Although it happened, it doesn't define you. It doesn't stop you from dreaming, from having goals and want to do things. So it was my goal to want to share my story, to encourage other stroke survivors to just get up and just move and know that you're not handicapped. You're handicapable with a different ability. And me trying to share that story is kind of what helped me want to build a podcast and to get my voice out more because I started to realize I had something to really say and people were really encouraged by hearing me. So it was like, I need to put this out there because awareness needs to really like be a thing right now. People think that stroke is an old people thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was 31. That's not old. So stroke can happen at any time. It does not discriminate. So I was like, I have to really put this information out there so we can educate and hopefully get some prevention going because I would never want nobody to go through the struggles that I've been enduring with this stroke. But I've been making the best of it.
Well, you were just so lucky that your neighbors were in the garage and that you were able to make that phone call. Otherwise, your kids, gosh, who knows what that would have been like for your kids and you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I may not even be here right now.
Yeah. And then you've got a book. You've written this book. When did you decide to do that?
I decided to do that again after my stroke. And it was important because stroke wasn't my first trauma. My first trauma was molestation. And so many women experience this, but we're so afraid and embarrassed to talk about it. And I said, girls need to know that they're not alone. They need to know that it's not their fault. They need to know that there is power that comes from that. So that's what made me want to write a short memoir and just kind of share my story a little bit to encourage them to just stand in their truth and be okay with it and let that thing grow you. Not tear you down, but let it literally build you up, step on top of the things you've been through so it can keep elevating you. So that's what that book was all about and sharing that part of the story because so many women experience sexual trauma that they just don't talk about it and other people don't, they don't go to counseling and things like that. But I just really thought it was important for people to know that you're not alone. And I also wanted people to know how strength in you was really born. And it started not from stroke. It started from the molestation.
Now, Strength in You is more than a podcast.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Strength in You is a foundation. It is a brand that reminds people your strength literally lives inside of you. There are a lot of people who are faith-based. But even with faith, without that work, it's dead. But all your strength comes from within you. So now, not only is it a podcast, it is, like I said, a foundation. So it has life insurance, advocacy, writing, inspirational speaking. We help foreign exchange students get hosted by families all around the world. So it's just everything that helps people. That's what Strength in You is, just help, help, help in every aspect of life.
So it sounds like you're probably just about as big as the Clinton Foundation, then.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty darn ambitious. Keeps you busy.
Yeah.
Is there some any one-on-one counseling kind of component too?
Yeah, we do some one-on-one counseling. Usually it's virtual because most of our clients are all over the world. So it's not really Colorado-based, but it's world-based. And so we do one-on-ones every Friday. And then we have a support group that we do every Friday on Google Meet. We do all kind of stuff. And we is me. Okay, y'all know this.
This is where sometimes it's Cynthia plus it's Joy.
Right.
Yeah, there
exactly.
You go. That's the we.
Yes.
So is it a 501c3, the foundation?
Yes, 501c3.
Okay. So donations can be made to support your work?
Absolutely. Donations can be made. And you can send those donations to Strengthen You. I don't want to put my address out there like that because I haven't got my P.O. box yet. But no, you can always reach out to me if you want to donate anything to the strengthenyou@gmail.com. And then we have a website, strengthenyou.org.
Are you raising enough money that there's some compensation for you? Or you?
No, No, not quite yet. I'm working on that. But everybody who's in business know that's exactly how business works, though. Those first few years, you don't really make nothing for yourself. You're just out there. And for me, because it's so important for me to help others, I haven't focused, I guess, so much on the financial part of the business. And I'm still learning that part because all this is just me doing it by myself. And, of course, you know, with a brain injury, that's a lot to be trying to do by yourself.
Yeah, eventually your husband's going to say, come on, bring home some bacon.
He's already said that. But like I said, for me, it's more about the helping of the people, to be honest.
Yeah, it's really clear.
Because the money's going to come. It's going to come.
Yeah, it's clear that that's not the top of your agenda, which is kind of cool. People ask me all the time if I'm retired, and I say, well, my bank account thinks I am. But my calendar doesn't.
Right.
Joy, I love the term handy capable. I have used people with possibilities rather than disabilities. My wife uses the term diffabilities. But I'd like to know about what do you do for the nobility of mobility? Do you ride a bike?
A therapy. But no, okay. I don't have a bike yet. I actually want to get me a recumbent and start doing some bike riding. But for the things that I can't do, I do them at therapy. I get on the elliptical, I ride bikes, treadmill, just about everything everybody else does. It just looks a little different for me.
Yeah, I want to say that when I met her in the lobby, we're up on the second floor, I sort of halfway thought she'd be getting off the elevator, but she was walking up the stairs. And you know, her legs are, you know, she's definitely handy capable. I think it'd be challenging for you to get on a bicycle and make it go, wouldn't it? It'd be tough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially because my balance is not good right now. If I get on a bike, I'm going to tip to the right. So I haven't quite got on a bike yet.
So a three-wheeler would be great.
Yes.
I didn't mean a bicycle, but there's a group in town he was in recently called Spokes Fighting Strokes.
Okay.
And they're actually touring Colorado right now, but they were in Colorado Springs for a few days.
Wow.
I didn't know.
We can connect you. I will share the link with Dave. And there's another group in town fighting strokes by getting people on trikes, recumbent trikes.
I love it. Please share that information with me because I would love to be a part of that.
That sounds great.
That's pretty cool. And I'm guessing, you know, is it because you're a young stroke experiencer that your neural pathways can keep on rebuilding, you know, for your whole life? Do the doctors tell you that you're never going to kind of plateau or not going to plateau until you're 75? Or,
well, different doctors have different theories and thoughts about things, but it's my thoughts. Anybody who put the work in can keep making gains, no matter your age. Yeah. Even if you're the elder, you know, as long as you're reading books and playing brain games and literally working your brain, you can make gains. So they didn't tell me I plateau, but they did tell me I would plateau with like my mobility. But that's not all the doctors. Only some say that. Others say you'll never stop making gains as long as you keep putting the work in. So it just really depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. And, you know, as much as we know about medicine, you know, it seems like everybody is, you know, everybody is different. You know?
Literally.
Yeah. So hopefully the doctors know what they don't know.
Right.
You know, when I opened your book, I was struck by the fact I didn't need to put on my reading glasses.
I did that on purpose, with purpose.
You made it easy for someone who's recovering from stroke to read
it, didn't
you?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I did. I did that on purpose. That's why it's double space with the big letters, because I didn't want nobody, whether it's stroke or somebody who's elderly, who wanted to read the book. I wanted them to be able to just do it and not feel like I got to put on something to do it.
Have you made it into an audiobook yet?
Yes.
You have? So someone could actually log on to one of your sites, and I love it.
You can go on Amazon, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll put a link in the show notes there, too.
Talk about another way to make something accessible.
Yes, ma'am. That's all I think about, honestly. And that's one of the things I'm fighting for, too, with Strength in You, is accessibility. Because I'm realizing part of the reason a lot of people with trauma don't even come out of their house is because they don't even feel like they're accepted. They can't even get into the building. So if there's no accessibility, that adds to mental health and depression and anxiety and all these things that we're saying we want to combat, but yet we're not putting out things to make it easier for people.
Yeah, isolation is definitely bad news for
absolutely
for anybody for any reason, really.
Yeah. And see, the accessibility wouldn't just be for stroke survivors. Think about the elderly. Think about a pregnant lady with her kids or with a bunch of bags. You know, you need that button to just maybe hit the button so you can get in. I've literally saw people in wheelchairs sitting outside of Family Dollar at the door just waiting on somebody to either come out or go in so that they'll be able to get in. And that's not acceptable.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about your kiddos.
Yes.
So they were 2 and 5 when you had the stroke.
Yes, ma'am.
So that makes them teenagers and preteens now.
13 and 16.
Oh, you poor thing.
They're so easy, though. They're so easy.
That's great.
So with your whole mission being talking about surviving the stroke, accessibility, it's obviously just part of their everyday life.
Yes.
And so you've already made advocates in your own home to go out into the community and help people figure out how to navigate certain situations.
Yes.
And then do they play brain games with you?
They do.
Tell us about some
they
of those.
They literally do just about everything I do. Well, my oldest kind of tired of me. You know, he's 16 now, so you know he don't want to be bothered with mom anymore. But my youngest, he does most of the stuff because he's a brain himself. But we play this game called Elevate. It's really fun. It helps us remember name to face recognition because I have a hard time. That's why everybody is Sugarfoot because I am bad with names now. I am horrible. But, you know, everybody want to be a Sugarfoot or a Sweetface or a Honey Love or something like that, you know, so they'll never get mad at me. So we play all those kind of in like Luminosity and we just make up different things and then we get on a Wii. But we play all kind of brain games together and we just do things together because my kids have learned to, I guess, embrace everything that is mom. So they exercise with me. We play the brain games together. They go out and actually do things in the community and help people. And they actually are student leaders in their school because they've been falling under mom. So I've been doing something right.
That's awesome. You've got the next generation already just living this naturally and realizing that this should be a part of what everyone does for everyone else is how can I help? What do you need?
Right.
And, you know, welcome to the world and don't be isolated.
Right. Exactly. And I think if we started doing that more, if we all kind of live like we got a trauma and teach our kids a different way, then maybe they'll actually be better to each other in school and in the world.
Yeah.
I like that logic.
The world today kind of makes you wonder whether a lot of parents have failed in our parenting because not everybody's growing up like that, I don't think. A lot of society has kind of lost track of their moral compass. So I don't want to be a downer, but
no, I get you.
But
I
thank
agree
you for too. Doing that with your kids.
Thank you.
So you have an event coming up.
Yes.
Yeah, we want to hear about this.
I got all kind of stuff coming up, okay? But then June 7th, this is the special one, okay?
Yeah.
Because, okay, we know women get all the love. Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, every day. Mom is special, okay? And I love that because I'm a mom. But I didn't become a mom by myself. I had to have a man. So we're doing a King of Kings event June 7th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Peak 31 to honor men and to just give them some love because I don't feel like men get enough love. When Father's Day roll around, you don't hear come and get a Father's Day brunch. You don't get all the Father's Day songs. People kind of just sweep the dads under the rug like they don't matter. And I'm like,
they make them grill. They make them do their own work on Father's Day, right?
They really do. And I said, it's important, especially because I have boys. I feel like it's important for young men to see men get loved on too, because it should go both ways. It shouldn't be one-sided. So June 7th from 7 to 10 p.m., we will be loving on men at our King of Kings event at Peak 31.
I was drawn to that and really wanted to make sure we had this episode in advance of that event because I'm an over-the-top fan of women. I think men have kind of screwed up the world because, you know, we've been in charge too long. Mm-hmm. And look what, how's that going for
right.
us? And so men have been getting a lot more blame for the last 10 years than usual, and appropriately so.
Right.
But not all men are scoundrels.
Right.
Speak for yourself, Dave.
Carrie, you look skeptical.
You made me think of Han Solo, my favorite scoundrel.
Men are just not given enough love. And because they don't feel it, they don't exude it. That's my thoughts. So I feel like men need to know that we honor you. We cherish you. We love you. But nobody shows that. So I said, well, let me do something different than most and give them a little bit of love and honor our men, because without you guys, we wouldn't even be here, literally. So, I mean, why not give men some love?
So what's that love going to look like at this event? What can you share with us?
It's going to look like live entertainment. Of course, we got some special speakers and a couple gifts we're giving away and some trophies and good music and just fun. And some resources. Of course, some resources, because, like I said, mental health is on the rise, not just for one or the other, but it's for everybody. And unfortunately, men are kind of taught from the beginning to shut up before I give you a reason to cry, or suck it up and be strong.
Yeah.
They're told all these things. So we need to make it known that, number one, it's okay to feel. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to need counseling, because all of us got a little crazy in us. We all need a little bit of counseling, you know?
Yeah.
But like I said, men don't really know that that is an okay thing to do, and they don't accept it from one another, or they don't get it from us. Men don't feel safe to talk to women.
So this event is to bring some awareness to mental health issues that men might be experiencing, and doing it in kind of a fun atmosphere. So
right.
It feels maybe more natural, more easy to come out and start realizing it's okay to talk about this stuff in
yes.
public when you pair it with shooting some pool and listening to a band
exactly.
and having a burger or something.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. So is this open to the public? Can anyone come?
Anybody could come. I actually encourage everybody to come.
Do they need to get online and get a ticket or RSVP in some way? Or?
Well, because everything is free, they don't have to. But I definitely recommend getting on Eventbrite and getting your ticket, so we'll know that you're coming. And we can make sure we have, you know, everything set up for you. And luckily, Raising Cane donated some things. So people are going to get some freebies that day. And Center for Better Balance, I don't know if you guys have heard of them, but Center for Better Balance is a chiropractic company, and they are also helping to sponsor this event.
That's great. So King of Kings.
Yeah.
And we'll also put a link in the show notes.
I look forward to it.
So I didn't warn her, Al, but let's ambush her. We ask every guest, what do you love about Colorado Springs?
Oh, the people. I love that it's not Chicago, okay, because I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. And everybody knows Chicago is not the nicest place. And to be here and to get the diversity, and the people are just so kind, like everywhere I go. And even if there is some racism, it's hidden. So I don't experience that. And it's not segregated. So I literally think I love everything about Colorado Springs, from the mountains to you awesome people, to how you guys support each other, to the walking, because the hiking and the trails and stuff, it made my, I didn't have no black in the back, but now I'm getting a little black in the back. So it works out.
I think that's the most enthusiastic answer we have ever had.
She did not have to think about it for one millisecond.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, you didn't even have the question out of your mouth, and you had an answer not knowing it was coming.
Yeah, I genuinely love it here. I really do. Only thing that I could say I miss about home is the food. But at the same time, that's probably the reason why everybody there is kind of obese and got high blood pressure and diabetes and everything else, because the food had you just blow up.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for all you do and for sharing upcoming events with us.
And bring in the joy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
You were named right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to get as much of that comedy as I can too, girl, for sure.
Yes.
Wrapping up, we got a couple of little news items that I'd like to share, and I don't know if Al or Carrie have brought anything else to the table, but just yesterday came across my desk a news release about the Penny Arcade in Manitou. Did you see that, Carrie?
I did see that. I may have had a little a pre-tip on that, but I was sworn to secrecy.
That's why we wanted you to be a co-host. You're plugged in big time.
That is one of the destinations I always take people to, is that Penny Arcade.
Yeah, and I grew up playing skee ball over there.
Cool. My favorite game there is Dig Dug, and it's probably a 1980s game. And I feel like it might be one of the only old school video games that was more girl oriented, because so many of them were like, you were shooting stuff down. Yeah. Not that females can't shoot stuff down, but this one was like these cool, they were some kind of a animal, and they like dug their way in a trench underground, and of course you'd get something and it would give you points, but it was so much fun. And I hope it's still working there, because that was my favorite game there.
I'm sure you're familiar, Cynthia, with the Penny Arcade.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
If you're not, I mean, you definitely need to go to take the kids or not. It's as much fun for adults as it is for kids. Over 450 different games. I guess they're not all coin operated. Probably some of them are credit card operated now. It's a fun night or afternoon, and apparently it's changed hands. Picked up by John Weiss.
Yeah, John Weiss, former owner of the independent newspaper, the Business Journal, longtime Manitou resident, mm-hmm. bought the Penny Arcade and is going to keep it going, hopefully, for the next 92 years.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he didn't buy it thinking, oh man, this is going to really put some money in my pocket.
Right.
I think he bought it to make sure it doesn't go away. And in fact, he said, I see myself more as the arcade's caretaker than its owner.
Yep. And I believe there are 7 buildings or something on that property. It's so cool because you get a little bit of outside time and it's just covered over the top. And then you wander in and out of these historic buildings tucked right in the heart of a tiny town at the base of the mountain. And it's just probably one of the most unique features in Colorado Springs and Manitou Springs. I mean, yes. There's nothing else like it.
And I didn't know this, but over 2,500 people typically come over Memorial Day weekend. Oh. To the Penny Arcade.
Wow.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
It is always one of those places you see as a suggestion when, if you're on any of the Facebook groups and people are like, I have friends coming to town. I have family coming to town. What should we do this weekend? I mean, over and over and over again, locals point to, you got to check out the Penny Arcade. And then you get tickets from skee ball. You get to trade yeah. your tickets in for trinkets.
My whole childhood, I had a roll of those tickets sitting on my dresser because I was saving them up for something.
I also love that the current general manager is staying, and that, you know, it doesn't sound like, from what we know so far, they're making any changes other than preparing for its ongoing longevity.
Yeah, pretty cool. Now, the other news tidbit I want to share is some news about a vehicle registration crackdown. Now, why would that be a news item out of all the things we could talk about? Well, if you're a regular listener, you've probably heard Al rant a little bit about vehicle registration.
That's right. I went to YEMI directly and said, hey, 10% of the vehicles in Colorado Springs have expired tags on their car. And he said, how do you know? And I said, let's pick 10 cars and see. And sure enough, one of them had an expired tag. So just doing a random sample, it was pretty obvious that we had a problem in Colorado Springs. And that's an easy one to fix, because you literally are hanging something saying, I'm guilty, on your car by not having an updated tag. And finally, Colorado is cracking down on it. But I've noticed that the number in Colorado Springs has been going down. So I assume that Mayor Yemi did something and they're starting to catch it, because nobody should have expired tags. It's just part of operating in a civilized city.
Will.
Are you 1 in 10?
As of last week, I was, but I just corrected it.
So interestingly, the Colorado legislature just passed a law to make it easier for the courts to be gentle with offenders on that. As long as your tags haven't been expired for more than 4 months, and if you get cited, if you go remedy that before your court date, then the judges are allowed to let you off with a $30 administrative fee instead of all the monthly charges.
Hmm. I remember when I first moved here, you used to get a postcard that you were expired. And I was expired at some time in the past several years, and I hadn't received a postcard. And I remember talking to, I guess it was county clerk, when I went in to renew them, and they said they don't always send those out anymore. Hmm. So you can pay attention, check your tags. I mean, I think that's you know, it's so rare that you actually look at something like that. But I mean, it's smart to know when it's coming up. And hey, Al, what do our vehicle registrations actually pay for?
That's a good question. I don't know where the money goes.
Man, you're our Wikipedia, Al.
Well, no, it's an interesting question. I mean, I can tell you where I think they should go, but I don't know where they do go.
Part of it is road maintenance, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure because, I mean, I know we often... It isn't?
It can't be with all these potholes. It just can't be.
Well, Cynthia, if you had renewed your registration on time, I wouldn't have hit that pothole yesterday.
That's the problem right there.
Here's an interesting thing. During the week of April 20th, law enforcement agencies across Colorado did a surge enforcement week where they really focused on looking for and ticketing people with expired plates. Then we got a report that kept track, and Colorado Springs Police Department issued 409 of the statewide 947 violations. Almost half were in Colorado Springs.
Oh, wow.
I told you they were cracking down in the spring.
Yeah. So either our police department did a better job of robust enforcement, or maybe Colorado Springs residents have gotten lazier than the rest of the state. So step up, pitch in, fill those potholes.
You know, I've seen several vehicles that had 22, and this is in 2025, they had 2022 tags on their car.
What?
That's ridiculous.
That is horrible.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine the late fee on a 3 years expired tag? I think when I did have a late fee, you said they've recently changed it down to $30 if you're under 4 months.
And that law isn't in effect until August.
Okay. I think my late fee was at least $100 on top of the charge, you know, to renew the fee. So I can't even imagine. You'd have to do a payment plan for a 3 year expired tag.
You would. This is a rabbit hole, but when I was like 30, I decided to engage in a campaign of civil disobedience, and I stopped paying parking tickets. And I was living in Dallas, Texas at the time. And I was getting tickets a lot because my office was in the downtown historic warehouse district where there were lots of tourists and parking was challenging. And my spot in the parking garage was like 3 blocks away. So I was always in a hurry to dash into my building. So I just stopped paying them. And when the police department finally caught up with me.
Oh, my goodness.
I was something like 25 tickets. I went into the office where you could clear that up, and I said, I need to clear up my parking tickets. And they said, okay, what's your license number? They typed it in, and the printer behind the counter started printing. And everybody in that office was watching that printer soon enough because the printer just never stopped. I owed over $1,000. I was something like 25 tickets. So I never did that again.
It is part of being, I mean, as citizens, we need to be responsible for what we do.
Yeah.
And I mean, no matter what you think of government, no matter what you think of fees and taxes, at the end of the day, if you choose to be a vehicle owner, you have to register your vehicle. And again, the fees from that do come back into society and provide something.
Yes.
I mean, it would be nice actually if that was something that we knew more. Like when you get your registration renewal, like on the back, it says these fees, 50% of it goes to X, 50% of it goes to Y. That would be nice to know as a citizen. But responsible citizens need to pay our part, and that's part of the law. So,
yeah.
And if there's going to be a law, it might as well be enforced.
Yep. And we should gladly pitch in. So I'm ashamed of myself for that brief moment where my moral compass was out of whack. But it's back.
Thanks for sharing it, Dave. We appreciate it. Your humanity.
All right. And we will report back to you. We will do the research and we'll let you know exactly what those registration fees cover in the next episode.
Yes.
We have homework.
Yeah. Would you like to have the last word today? You want to finish this episode with some great words of inspiration?
Or comedy.
Or comedy, yes.
I wasn't quite prepared for the comedy. I'll get some inspiration. Maybe throw a little comedy in it. We'll see what happens. I would definitely love to do that. I would just want to leave you with words of encouragement to know that everything that happens to you happens with a purpose and is meant to grow you. So don't be afraid to let your storms brew, because without storms, you can't get your flowers or your bushes, your grass, and everything that's green. So allow your storms to come and let them grow you. Never give in to giving up on yourself, and always push through with that strength in you.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.